The Delmarva Public Radio Program Survey. Welcome to Delmarva Today. I'm Don Rush, and in our studio is our general manager, Dana White, here. And recently we have issued a, we took a survey of the of our listeners to find out what they thought about programs. And we have our manager here who certainly issued that survey and got some results. First of all, why don't you describe a little bit about what was the idea behind creating the survey in the first place?
Well, it'd been an awful long time since Delmarva Public Radio listeners had been asked for their opinion directly. Certainly not since I had been here, and I think considering the changes that Delmarva Public Radio's programming has gone through since September of 2013, we've made some tinkering here and there, but generally speaking, the changes we made back in September of 2013 have settled in for the most part, and it was time for us to kind of take the temperature of our listeners and find out what they think of the programming, what they think of the service, what they would, what they like, what they don't like, what they would like to change. Are we serving their needs? Are we not serving their needs? So this is valuable information for any public radio station. And it's a part of the partnership that we ask with our listeners. It would seem kind of arrogant of us to just go ahead and program whatever we feel like programming and not really listen to our listeners. This is a public radio station. The public is involved. We depend on their support. So we should, at the very least, we should ask for their input, and we should follow through on that and listen to their input and apply their input as well. So Christopher Rank, our programming and operations director, put together this survey, and I had a chance to look at it before it went out, and I felt that it was a very wide-ranging survey. This was by no means a short survey. For somebody to actually follow through and send this survey in, it took some time. But it had been such a long time since they'd been asked for their input that I felt that was, and Chris felt that was necessary. We needed this information to know where we stand with our listeners and where we stand with our listener supporters, even our business supporters, so that we can make adjustments if they are necessary, and to explain why, when we do a fundraiser, as we are doing right now, sometimes the phones don't ring. And as we were saying earlier this morning, we had a goal of $125,000 for this spring drive, and we are not going to meet that goal. Realistically, we accept that, but we still need to raise the money so that we can keep Delmarva Public Radio on the air. This is a part of figuring out why the phones are not ringing. So the survey had a lot to do with us opening it up and having a public discussion and asking some very pointed and difficult questions, and being able to listen to some very pointed and difficult answers as well.
One of the things that struck me about some of the responses is revolved around reception.
Yes.
We've had a number of issues that have come up, including moving the tower, problems with links to the tower itself. What kind of impact do you see that having in terms of the kind of listeners that we have, and how do you see it as interrupting, say, that flow that occurred before?
Devastating. In one word, I would say devastating. Having been a former chief engineer at a public radio station, I have done these kind of projects before, and I've never seen an overall project such as what we've undertaken here over the last 3.5 years seem to be the target of so many almost like fate-like issues that have blocked progress, which have slowed down projects, which have delayed projects, and even in the case of the new transmitters, which are now fully operational, as soon as we put the transmitters on the air, the transmission line, which carries the power and the signal from the transmitter up to the antenna at the top of the tower, it developed a problem. It'd been sitting there since probably 1987 and just humming away, and it developed a problem, and there was a break in the transmission line, so we had to haul back power on WSCL. Not for the first time, I should add. And so it's perceived as Delmarva Public Radio's service being inconsistent. It's perceived that we are unreliable. When we changed the microwave systems, which send the signal from our studios out to our transmitters, it's known as a studio-to-transmitter link, an STL, we were forced to use commercial internet systems to deliver the signal from our studios to our transmitters. In retrospect, I would not wish that on my worst enemy. It was highly unreliable. The systems were just fraught with problems. And as a result of having to depend on commercial internet services to deliver our signals temporarily out there, a lot of people, again, came to the conclusion that Delmarva Public Radio was not reliable. We had outages due to system work. Internet service providers work on their services all the time, and they will change the routing, and all of a sudden our signal would disappear. There were backhoe fades, as they're referred to, where a backhoe or somebody digging or something like that will cut into a fiber optic line that is carrying an internet, a major internet connection, and boom, once again, we're off the air. At that time, we had no backup. The only way we could send our signals out to our transmitters were using the internet, and it was quite literally our only option. While the university moved the tower from the old Carruthers Hall, which no longer exists and has been replaced by the new academic commons on the Salisbury University campus, over to the other side of campus, and then once they got the tower erected, then they had to put our microwave systems up. All that time, we were depending on a commercial internet line, and that's simply no way to get a signal out. So we sincerely apologize for the fact that our signal and our service was not there at times, for long periods of times. We were very embarrassed about that. We were just as upset as our listeners and our supporters were, and to a certain extent we still are, because we're suffering the effects of that perception that we were unreliable. I can say, and hopefully I won't walk out of this interview and then suddenly turn the radio on and there'll be no signal there again, but I can say that the project that was undertaken in 2013 to completely rebuild Delmarva Public Radio's infrastructure, from the microphone I am talking into right now through the FM transmitters that we are using in Seaford and in Roxana to broadcast 90.7 and 89.5 to you, every single piece of equipment has been replaced. It's been upgraded. When I first walked in to the studios back in 2013, we were using 1980s vintage equipment.
I remember them.
And I'm sure you probably still have nightmares about it. All that has been replaced. We have a fully digital signal. We have a new studio transmitter link. We are sitting, yes, we are sitting in a temporary trailer on the campus of Salisbury University, but we are sitting in a trailer which has been outfitted with top-notch broadcast equipment, digital equipment. We have a new automation system. Everything is digital. And that includes the electronics that are used to transmit the signal. Our FM transmitters are brand spanking new. So as far as the infrastructure and the systems that we use to deliver the signal, it's all new. And our listeners helped pay for that. They helped pay for that not only with their contributions to Delmarva Public Radio, but they also helped pay for that by speaking out back in 2012 and 2013 to express their desire that Delmarva Public Radio live on. And Salisbury University heard that. Delegate Norm Conway heard that, and he was able to get the funding to completely rebuild the infrastructure of Delmarva Public Radio. Now, That hopefully will take care of the issues that you were asking about, which are the reliability issues. And a lot of people turned off Delmarva Public Radio simply because we could not be relied upon. Well, those issues have been taken care of. And I say that with great confidence that the systems that we are now using to broadcast, and again, from the microphone I'm speaking into to the FM transmitter, everything in between, it has all been replaced. And so the reliability factor from that standpoint is much higher than it was in 2013.
Well, a semi-related issue in terms of the signal is, of course, we had WAMU, which came on with its own large signal, almost matches, I think, its WSCL signal.
Yes.
But it provides news, talk, and information as opposed to classical music. How significant has that been? I noticed in this number of responses, people said, well, they've turned over to listening to AMU either sometimes because of content, but also other times just simply because of reception. And I'm just wondering whether or not, as you try to climb back out of this technological hole, as it were, that you describe, how more difficult that's going to be if you have a signal that, for instance, is broadcasting, say, a similar program, maybe Studio A, for instance, or 1A, for example, and you have a choice between the two. We say, oh, well, I'm going to stay with AMU, even though I'm getting hearing other stuff.
WAMU, which comes out of American University over in D.C., and WRAU, which is their repeater out here on the Delmarva Peninsula, they are a pretty significant factor in what we do, how we do it, when we do it. And it's a factor that personally speaking, I wish we didn't have to deal with. I've been with public radio for 38 years, and I come from a time when public radio stations did not compete with each other, did not openly compete with each other and invade each other's territory, as it were. The Delmarva Peninsula is something a little different, and it wasn't always that way, as you and I have discussed and as we've said on the air many, many times. Delmarva Public Radio was the original public radio signal out here on the Delmarva Peninsula, and we still consider ourselves the flagship public radio station out here. American University decided, and I have talked to the general manager at WAMU about this. American University decided that their goal in opening up a station out here on the Delmarva Peninsula was so that their listeners in D.C. and surrounding areas would be able to listen to WAMU when they came out for weekends, when they came out for vacations. Basically, when they came out to the Delaware and Eastern Shore, Maryland, and parts of the Eastern Shore of Virginia, they wanted to make sure that their listeners back in D.C. were able to hear their signal when they came out to the Eastern Shore, and that is why they opened up WRAU. In the process, their timing of that happened at the same time that Delmarva Public Radio was going through its, I guess you could say, internal and external debate about its future, and also the technical issues that we just discussed, where Delmarva Public Radio was less than reliable because of the technical issues that we were dealing with and the growth issues and the equipment replacement issues that we were going through. Whether they meant to or not, WAMU kind of benefited from that and took advantage of that. And as a result of our inability to be consistent with delivering a quality signal, a lot of our listeners migrated to WRAU, which is the WAMU repeater out here. That hurt. It's a stronger station than WSDL, which is our news and information station. And as you reported to me when I first came here, there were billboards throughout the Delmarva Peninsula that from WAMU announcing that they were bringing public radio to the Delmarva Peninsula. So from a public relations standpoint, that kind of belittled Delmarva Public Radio. And I'm not sure to what extent that affected people's views of who is actually the public radio station and service of record out here on the Delmarva Peninsula. We seem to be under the impression that it's us. WAMU seems to be under the impression that it's them. And I think that has hurt Delmarva Public Radio from a listener standpoint, because during all that time that we were going through all these technical issues, they were not having technical issues. So if you were looking down at the left end of the dial for a public radio station and you were on search and it was looking for the most powerful signal and the most consistent signal, your radio was going to go to WRAU. So that is one of the reasons why a lot of people, a significant number of people who responded to the survey stated that their listening to Delmarva Public Radio has gone down because they have another alternative, and that other alternative is WRAU. Do I wish that WRAU was here? I'll be honest with you, no. There's a certain level of curiosity and discomfort that I feel having another public radio station providing a very, very similar service to what we provide here at Delmarva Public Radio, not in our front yard or not in our backyard, but planted right in our front yard. And so that's one of the reasons why we go on the air. And when we have our fund drives, we remind people that we were the original public radio station here. We are the only station that provides a Delmarva view. And that is something that I can just about guarantee you the WAMU repeater cannot do and will not do. Their investment in the Delmarva airwaves is strictly to make sure that their listeners in D.C. can listen to WAMU when they're out here. Are they interested in providing a service for Delmarvans? That's an open question.
Don, can I jump in here for a second?
Yeah, yeah, Chris.
Part of the problem is our technical issues, but part of the problem is, and listeners need to know this, the WSDL tower is located in Roxana, Delaware, and the signal for WSDL, even now that it's back at full strength, is not going to get to the western part of the Delmarva Peninsula. It fades out in Easton. There are many people who've called me and said, I'm living in Salisbury and I cannot pick up WSDL, and that's just the nature of the pattern and how strong it is. The truth of the matter is WSDL WRAU is placed centrally in the middle of the peninsula. They have a signal that can reach parts of the peninsula that we cannot on WSDL. And that is a factor that we have to take in. There are people in Easton, there are people in the Western Shore who want to hear news and information programming. You're going to hear it wherever it's available to hear. They're not going to tune into a scratchy signal if they can hear it in another place. And that's just the truth of the matter. And that's another thing that we have to factor in here.
That's true. We Delmarva Public Radio goes WSCL covers most of the peninsula, including the Midshore area in Easton and Oxford and Cambridge and St. Michael's. That's a very valuable area to us. We would like to be able to provide them with both of our signals. WSDL does not get there. So when, for instance, when I go up to the Avalon Theater and I record music at the Avalon Theater, it logically needs to be played back on WSDL because the style of music that we're recording up there is not classical music. But in order for people to listen to it in Easton, which we would love for the people of Easton to be able to hear performances that are recorded in Easton, we can't do that unless we invite them to listen online using the stream, or we put non-classical music on a classical music station, which we have done. And as much as I love the fact that we can deliver a signal to the Midshore area like that, we're putting non-classical music on a classical station, and people don't like that. And I could not blame them.
Well, now, here's another thing that we have to keep in mind is that we've talked about the signal strength. We haven't talked about the fact that, that AMU, REU, and WSDL play the exact, not the exact, but we have...
Very close.
During the day, we have a lot of the same programs on at the same time. Again, when our signal strength was down, if you wanted to listen to Diane Rehm, you turned on AMU because that's where you could hear her. Mm-hmm. Now we're playing 1A at the same time as WRAU, and we've had folks, we were playing a program called Here and Now. You've been listening, if you've been listening to The Drive, Dana and I have talked about this a couple times. From 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on WSDL, we were playing a program called Here and Now. It was very expensive for us to carry, and we had to let it go. We've had some music on in the afternoon, and some people like it, and some people don't. But for all the people who say, well, bring back Here and Now, okay, fine. But again, you're playing the same programming that AMU is playing at the exact same time. Dare say the voice in the wilderness who says, why is the government funding public radio, has a valid point. When you've got duplication of services,
right?
So,
that's very good. That's a very good point.
It's a hard thing to do because we have a lot of people who are in this survey. And if you did it, by the way, if you filled out the survey, I do want to say thank you for doing it. It was a long survey, but we have a lot of people in this survey who say, "I want you to go back to doing exactly what you're doing before." Well, there's two problems with that. It's incredibly expensive to go back to doing what we did before, and I'm not really sure it's the best use of public radio airwaves. And on top of that, what you're asking us to do is put programming that you can hear on another station on a station that most of the peninsula can't hear as well as they can hear the other station. And that's a problem. It's almost an intractable problem. I don't know what you do with that.
That makes two of us. Chris and I have beat our heads against the wall for more hours over the last 3.5 years, trying to figure out how to address the fact that we have 48 hours of programming to fill each day and to serve the people of Delmarva with quality public radio programming that does not directly duplicate what our competition is doing, which is why this program is on, which is why Delmarva Today is on. And also to be able to find a way to deliver that unique signal, specifically WSDL signal, across the entire peninsula. And I have reached out to the management of WAMU at American University, and I have made a proposal to them to consider working with Delmarva Public Radio to find a way so that they can get what they want, which is mostly the coastal areas of Delmarva, so that they can deliver their signal to their listeners when they are on the coastal areas of Delmarva, and to be able to allow Delmarva Public Radio to be able to deliver its signal to the entire peninsula. And that proposal is on the table, and I'm waiting to hear back from WAMU. I think that would be the most elegant solution because everybody walks away with what they want. And the last thing we want, even though it has been suggested, and Chris and I have, this is another one of these topics that Chris and I have discussed quite a few times, and there just is no, there's no easy solution to it.
There's no elegant solution.
No elegant solution. It would talk about riots in the streets. would be to switch programming, which would be taking the programming that is currently on WSDL and putting it on 89.5 and taking the classical music programming and putting it on 90.7.
You know, let me stop you for a second. When we're done with this program, I'm going to go over there and post it online. Yep. And I highly encourage anyone who has opinions on what we should do to put your opinions in the comment section online. We really do want to hear from you. Which, by the way, when you call in at 410-543-6895 and make your donation, take a second or two and, you know, let us know what you think. Please don't monopolize the phones because we want other people to get their phone calls through. But we wouldn't mind that. There was another thing I was trying to think of.
Well, it is interesting that we are, you know, one of the reasons we're doing this right now is because we are fundraising. I would love to be able to say that, that Delmarva Today is completely separate from the fundraising operation from an ethical and news moral standpoint. But the fact is, we are in the middle of a fundraiser. We're in our last day. We're asking you to call 410-543-6895. And one of the reasons we decided to have this program on Delmarva Today today was because we felt that there are so many questions about Delmarva Public Radio's programming. There are so many, I guess you could say, there's some misinformation out there about our programming. And we kind of wanted to share with our listeners how we are kind of backed into a corner here, and it is difficult to serve the needs of the Delmarva Peninsula.
Well, let me break in here just a moment, because the other issue when talking about programming is obviously the programming changes that took up place on WSDL, particularly in the evening.
Right.
And I know there were some people who certainly like news talk, and we're not particularly happy with that. I think one of the questions becomes, how successful has that been in terms of raising money, in terms of audience? Has it done what you think it should have done?
No.
Why do you think that is?
I think Chris will agree
this
with me.
This week has, if this week has been an indication for as long as we've had the World Cafe, either at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, we have not had the kind of response we had hoped for. I'll be perfectly honest. Yeah. We've had a few calls. People who love it very much, and they're very enthusiastic about it, but it's not a lot of people who support it. It's not like Diane Rehm when she was on the air. You would get people who just, you know, called, and that would be one of the things they would say in addition to other things, but it hasn't been as great as we had hoped.
But the people who do like it are very intense about their love of it. We had a young woman walk into the pledge room the other day, write out a $500 check, and I asked her what programming she liked, and the first thing out of her mouth was World Cafe and Folk Alley and the music that we're playing on WSDL during the evenings, Mount Stage, all those programmings. That was why she was writing us a $500 check.
But then, and listeners, you can understand this, then we're back to the same problem. If we say, okay, fine, we're going to go back to the old format, two problems lean up. One, it's extremely expensive to carry a lot of those news programming. Many listeners don't understand this, but we, and maybe you do, but we have to purchase the programming that we put on the air. If we don't make it ourselves, we're basically buying it to put it on the air. And sometimes that programming can be incredibly expensive. And how do you justify having a large expense if nobody's calling in? Now you can try to get rid of it and try to put something else on.
We tried that too,
in the same problem.
Well, let me ask you this: Do you think? And this is the tougher questions. Do you think that you promoted enough?
No, and that's actually something Chris and I had a chat about the other day. Is at the same time, and this has to do not only with staffing but also priorities. At the same time that we were going through the process of completely rebuilding Delmarva Public Radio from the ground up, from a technical standpoint. Our staff had gotten smaller, and we had all these problems that were developing as a result of our signal not being reliable. And that was the very time that we should have been in a position to promote the new programming on WSDL, the rhythm and news concept, the programming, the music programming, the very, very eclectic music programming that we have on WSDL during the evenings. That would have been the perfect time to do that. But we were kind of up to our alligators, or up to our you-know-what and alligators at that time. So it was really difficult to promote the new programming while at the same time raising money, retooling Delmarva Public Radio from an operation standpoint as well as a technical standpoint. And now the programming has been out there for a long time, and people are legitimately asking, okay, you've had this programming on the air for a long time. Why is it not performing? But you raised a very good question. Has the programming in the evenings on WSDL been promoted adequately? And I would have to say no. And there are several reasons for that. I'm not making excuses, but there are several reasons for that. And we're now at a crossroads. And Chris, please, you know, chime in on this. But we're at a crossroads right now where we're having to make a a pretty fundamental decision about do we continue with the rhythm and news concept, and do we continue with the eclectic music that we have during the evening, and really start hitting it and promoting it and making sure that people know it is there. Because if you look at the survey results, there are not a whole lot of people listening. And I believe it's because they don't know the programming is there. We simply have not promoted it strongly enough. Or option two is, do we not be so eclectic? Do we just have AAA programming instead of a different style of programming every night, and then have the individual genres of the blues, the folk, the bluegrass on the weekends? Or, as Chris was saying, people have requested, some people have requested, just go back to being an all news and information station. There are problems with all three options.
There really is not a good, easy solution, and that's a difficult. You know, there's another meta issue on top of this, and I don't mean to filibuster, but if you think about the nature of radio in general, it's no secret that fewer and fewer people are listening to the radio in general. It's not a problem that public radio stations are having by themselves. It's a problem that everybody's having by themselves. It used to be, when I first got here, that we could go on the air and we could say, the only place you can hear This American Life is on this radio station, so please support this radio station. That's not true anymore. You can hear it on a podcast. You can hear it on XM radio. You can hear it streaming from any number of radio stations around the country.
Don't tell them that.
Well, that's the truth. And it has you have to face the fact that
it's
eroded
right.
The on-air listenership, particularly among younger demographics. I will say that I've done this experiment when every time we have an intern who comes into the radio station, my first question to them is, do you own a radio? And they never do. They don't own a radio. Furthermore, go down to your local Walmart and try to find a radio. It's hard. Radio is different than it was. What it'll be in 10 years or 15 years, I don't know. I don't have a magic wand. But it's different than what it was, and it's becoming increasingly a problem when more and more of national programming is available in formats that aren't on the air the way they were. So we can't just be a content provider and just let things roll. There's got to be something different. I don't know what the solution is. I'd like you to find out.
My, the basis of the rhythm and news concept was to answer that very question. I said in my interviews when I first came here, and I stated on the air, I remember saying this when we were at Carruthers during the first pledge drive that I was involved with, as I said, I used my great-grandfather's philosophy of hit 'em where they ain't. And what we had to do was, since WAMU had basically invaded our space here, and since WESM down the road, our good friends at University of Maryland Eastern Shore, they have the jazz programming covered. And WDDE up in Dover, they have news and information programming for Delaware covered. Their signal is not that strong. That we had to do something different. We had to provide something that no one else was providing. And my conclusion was, based on programming that has been available at stations throughout my career, it was that alternative music programming was what was missing here. And that is still true from the standpoint of nobody else is doing this. Really, nobody in the public realm is doing this. And the commercial radio people are smart enough to know not to invest millions and millions and millions of dollars in this kind of programming as well. Yet this is music that deserves to be heard, and these are musicians that deserve to be heard. And so that's the reason that we decided to do something different, because if we had continued to try to go toe-to-toe with WAMU on the news and information route and just do nothing but news and information, I think we'd be even worse off than we are now, and the predictions that were made during 2012 and 2013 about Delmarva Public Radio's future would have come true. Financially, Yes, we are not performing to the extent that I wish we were. We're not performing to the extent that Salisbury University wants us to, and I understand that. They had reasonable expectations. I had reasonable expectations. I did not expect to turn this place around, you know, in 5 minutes. It's going to take some time. But one of the reasons why we're sitting here and one of the reasons why Chris put this survey together is we're asking for our listeners and the people who are very dedicated to Delmarva Public Radio and to Delmarva and to public radio, period. We're asking for guidance. We're asking for input because that is what a public radio station should do, even in the best of times. The only thing that I wish to state that is somewhat counter to what Chris was saying is that I have been fortunate enough to work at some public radio stations that are swinging for the fences and they're hitting home runs. So there are a lot of public radio stations these days which are not doing well because there are so many different sources that they can get the programming. But the public radio stations that really are doing well are creating programming from a local and regional standpoint that is high quality, such as Delmarva Today, such as Chris's program, which I love Chris's program on Wednesday nights, the show about. Programs such as Vintage Country, which we have on WSDL on Friday nights with Tom Pittman. Programs like that, that stand out and say, hey, this is quality programming that you literally cannot find anywhere
else. But the stations that are making programming, and I do believe that localism is the future of radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the stations that can produce content. But the problem is, you have me and you have Don. You know,
right.
We need more human beings to make content to be to put it out.
That's true, and that's one of the reasons why we have asked for volunteers. We've reached out to musicians and people who are very talented in this area and ask them to come in and talk to us about producing programming, not just music programming, but also public service programming as well. And we have reached out to the newspaper here in Salisbury to ask them whether they want to partner with us so that we can have more resources to do Morning Edition and free Don up to be able to do more programs such as Delmarva Today and also more longer format stories, which are extremely difficult for Dom to do simply because he does not have the time. He has to be the Morning Edition host. So this is another area that you know, from a staffing standpoint, Chris nailed it.
Let me ask you this final question. What do you see as the future of the station? Obviously, you've done the survey. You've been pondering these conundrums, I guess, for lack of a better word. Where do you see the station going?
We are undertaking the hiring several of the positions which have not been filled, which I'm working with Salisbury University to fill. They're development positions. They are promotion positions. They're marketing positions. From a staffing standpoint, Delmarva Public Radio it's been many, many years, if at all, that Delmarva Public Radio has been set up like a standard administrative, you know, structure. Yes, you have a general manager. That's me. I'm also acting as development director. I'm also acting as part-time membership director. I'm also acting as part-time underwriting and marketing manager. I can't do this. I have a huge ego, but it's not that big. You know, it's not like I'm
I didn't say that.
Chris, do you have any input on that?
No comment.
Now remember, boys, your evaluations are coming up.
Oh, my gosh.
But so we're in the process of hiring a development director. That will not only relieve a great deal of pressure on me, but it will also provide leadership and guidance for our underwriting and membership operations in the form of bringing somebody in who has experience and knows how to market public radio stations and knows how to work with doing exactly what we're doing this week, and that is making the case to people who are listening and to people who are not listening to start listening and to support the station, just the same as making the case to businesses throughout the Delmarva Peninsula, saying, you have something unique here. You have something very valuable here. We think that if you support it, it will not only provide a public service to the Delmarva Peninsula, but it'll also benefit you from a business standpoint. We are, sadly, with the passing of Angela Bird last year, we are looking for a new membership director, and that position will be opening up as well. We have retooled the membership operation. Some of you may have received not only the survey, which I think is a wonderful idea, but you may have also received the first newsletter that you've received from Delmarva Public Radio in quite a while. So that's another way that we're trying to reach out and reconnect with the people who have supported us so that we can use that that communication and those same people to help us raise even further awareness of Delmarva Public Radio. This is going to have to be organic. It's not going to come out of the sky. It's not just going to happen. We're going to have to work twice as hard, and we're going to have to expand our staff, and we're going to have to really make the case to the listeners of Delmarva Public Radio and the people who are listening to WRAU. That's the key, is making the case to them and then finding some way. And this is my pie-in-the-sky idea. I realize this. But somehow, some way, we have to get the programming that is currently on WSDL, the Rhythm and News programming. We have to get to the Midshore. If I cannot deliver a signal to Cambridge, to Easton, to St. Michael's, to Oxford, to that area, that is going to be a long-term problem for us, because that is a Delmarva area. That is a very important, growing Delmarva area. If Delmarva Public Radio cannot deliver its most expensive programming to that area, that's going to be a thorn in our side for a long time. Chris, would you agree?
I will agree. I also will be perfectly honest. I think maybe the future is just going back to just being WSCL. That's one thing that I think we should really seriously consider. Maybe the listeners should consider that too.
I think so. I would like to hear a response to that. Should we just be a one station? Should we just be a one station operation?
My thought question is, if you've got a problem and the problem is a conundrum that you cannot really figure out how to fix, then get rid of the problem. That's an idea. It could be wrong. I'm not saying that's a solution. I'm not advocating for it either. I'm just saying that's an issue.
That's not the first time Chris has stated that, and I agree that it is an option. It is it's part of the conundrum, and it's one of the many things that we have to look at and try to figure out how we're going to steer this huge, you know, broadcast ship into open waters so that we can get more wind in our sails and fulfill the goal and the mandate that Salisbury University set for us back in 2013.
We've been speaking with Dana Whitehair. He is the general manager of Delmarva Public Radio. Also, Chris Frank, he's the program director at all here also. I think a lot of emphasis on at all.
Yeah, I would rather be at all than du jour.
I see. That's true. And this has been Delmarva Today. I'm Don Rush. Thanks for listening.
This has been Delmarva Today, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. Chris Rank produces and is our audio engineer. Don Rush is your host. For podcasts, visit our website, delmarvapublicradio.net, or subscribe to the Delmarva Today podcast in iTunes. Delmarva Today can now be seen on PAC-14. To view the schedule, visit the Daily Times or visit pac14.org.